Yahweh told Ahab to leave your country, your family, your father's home, for my land, I will show you.
I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make your fame famous. You will be a blessing. I will bless you who bless you. Those who I curse you, I will curse. All the families on the earth will bless through you.
Imagine a time in your life when you have to leave everything behind and step out into a new world. Maybe we don't have to imagine. Maybe we know exactly what that is like. Maybe there has been a time in our lives when we have had to start completely over, leaving behind an old life. Maybe we're even experiencing it now in the midst of this pandemic, trying to step out into a new world. As we think about this, maybe as we remember it, what is it that we need to be able to start an adventure like that, to rise to that kind of challenge? What do we need to step out into the unknown? What kind of power might we need to draw from? What kind of words of assurance might we need to hear? What kind of blessing would help us make such a change in our lives? Here we see this story of Abram and Sarai, two very famous characters in the book of Genesis. As we continue going through this series, The Power of Genesis, we see how these stories remind us of our beginning, but also the newness that God is calling all of us to be a part of. As we are reminded that all of us, every single one, is God's chosen people. Most scholars agree that Genesis was likely written and assembled, collected during the time of the Babylonian exile, a time in which the Israelites were captured, they were conquered and defeated, and they were forced into a new community. And in that new community was forced upon them a new history, new cultures and traditions, even new religions. And so, as a response, the Israelite people decided that they would remember their own history through the stories that had been told and retold for so many generations. And in these stories, they remembered and rediscovered their blessing and their power. People who were blessed by a God who is both of creation, but also of giving worth. And so what those who were exiled are remembering is the whole point of God choosing God's people is not just about the individuals, but what we see is happening is that God chooses these special agents in order to bring blessing to the whole community that these people are a part of. People, of course, who have known mostly trouble, perhaps even curses. What does it mean to be blessed when one has so little? I remember someone saying years ago, when you are poor, religion counts for a lot. I can certainly remember in my own upbringing, our family was pretty lower middle class. And when we did finally start going to church, we attended a First UMC. Not quite as big as this one here in Lakeland, but it was still pretty big. There were lots of people who I would have never had any other reason to interact with. But I remember that very first Sunday when my family and I showed up at church, they welcomed us. They took us in. I can definitely say that it counted for something. It counted for a lot to be seen as worthy. Most of us probably know that story of the religious scribes watching Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors, asking amongst themselves, why does he eat with those people? Jesus' response is, those who are well, or perhaps those who think they are well, have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, Jesus says, or those who think they're righteous. I have come for sinners. Very rarely do we see in Scripture those who are considered well off wanting to have a meal with Jesus. So maybe we need to ask, where do we fall in proclaiming our need for Jesus Christ in our life? Our need for God's blessing. Have we experienced this need perhaps in a new way during this pandemic season? Have we seen the reality of need around us, around our circles, in our community? Maybe we have seen it as part of the food drives that we have led month after month now, or in those who are facing job loss and insecurities. Maybe we have seen that need in those who have been waiting for us to finally get involved in the work of anti-racism. A few months ago, one of the projects that I started as we were working from home was a Facebook discussion group. I would invite people in Zoom, and we would have discussions together on iconic characters and the topics that they represented. After the death and shooting of individuals like Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, and of course, Breonna Taylor, we started talking about how it was that we were impacted by these tragedies, by these injustices. One of the guests that I had on was and is a dean and director at Wesley Theological Seminary. And he started talking about prophetic cursing and saying that as a church, we are pretty good about giving blessings, about naming them. But we don't really talk about cursing. We don't talk about the things that need to be cursed. And in fact, just the opposite. We tend to neglect them. And then just this last week, our visitation pastor, Pastor Dale, wrote this beautiful and powerful devotion that he sends to many of those whom he visits. Of course, we as the staff always get them, and it is always encouraging and sometimes very convicting to read what Dale has to share. And so in the midst of what he was writing about, he quotes from one of the prophets, Hosea, which we find in the Old Testament. But before he does that, he writes this line: "The worst kind of dark walk is when leadership chooses darkness over light." And then he offers these words from Hosea: "The Lord has brought charges against you, saying there is no faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land. You make vows and break them. You kill and steal and commit adultery. There is violence everywhere, one murder after another. That is why your land is in mourning and everyone is wasting away. Even the wild animals, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea are disappearing. Do not point your finger at someone else and try to pass the blame." Perhaps it is not necessarily for us to curse. But maybe it is for us to acknowledge what it is that God curses and to make sure that we are not a part of it, nor perhaps even more that we benefit from it, but to be a part of the restoration, to care enough. One of the things I have on my desk that I invite people to see is this stone. Now, you probably can't see it from here, but on the stone is written the word "unless." And this comes from a church that I served years ago when we did a message series on Jesus and the Lorax. And so many times I'll have people notice this stone on my desk. In fact, sometimes they'll even say the very question from the story: what's an unless? And this, of course, comes from Dr. Seuss's famous book about a boy being told a story from a mysterious man in a tower, telling this boy about how when he was younger, he arrived at this very fruitful and diverse land, a land rich in wildlife, in biodiversity, but also these amazing truffula trees. It didn't take very long for this onceler to realize that if he chopped these trees down, he could take the material from those trees and turn them into a product he called a thneed. And the more trees he chopped down, the more he manufactured those truffula trees, the more powerful and more rich he became. So he became a commander of industry in his area. Now, of course, the consequence of this is all of the biodiverse life, all of the animals that thrived in that area started getting sick. They starved. They suffered because this one person took the resources of that area and exploited them for his own purposes. Now, if you know the story, you know what happens. This being who speaks for the trees, the Lorax, shows up and warns him about the consequences of what's going to happen if he continues to pursue these goals in the midst of everything else. But the Onceler doesn't listen. He says to the Lorax, "I've done nothing wrong, I've done nothing illegal, and I will continue to bigger and bigger and bigger myself." Until, of course, the final truffula tree is chopped down. And he realizes that now not only does he not have the means to continue biggering himself, but he now sees the devastation that he has caused to this land and to those who have lived within it. And so as all of the creatures leave him, and as the Lorax himself leaves him, he finds himself alone and stranded, exiled in this place of devastation and death. And the only thing he has to keep him company is a stone that the Lorax has left, which says, "Unless." And so to answer the boy's question, when he asks the Onceler what an unless is, he says, "Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better." It's not. How we care for the world and for each other has been a gift, a blessing, and a responsibility that in our human history we have often failed. We see this at the very beginning with Adam and Eve, who are given power of blessing, but also of cursing, when they take the resources and the responsibilities that they have been given and they use them for their own benefit. We see in the story how God responds on the one hand with curses and with grievous punishment. But we also see on the other hand, God does not send them away empty-handed. God gives them clothing for their journey and new life. We even see later on how God gives someone who has committed murder a mark so that they too may be spared. Someone wrote it this way: "In one sense, all of these views of blessing hang on a single theological premise. God chooses to remain intimately connected to the creation, and particularly to the flesh and blood that became human when God mixed dust with God's own breath. God may grieve and even rant over the incessant evil that humankind dreams up in every generation, but given the nature of God's commitment, we see God will not, or perhaps cannot, give up the creatures that share the divine breath. We are part of the divine breath." As Pastor David shared during the children's time last week, God breathed that divine breath into us, and thus we have been given not only life, but we have been given power. And we know that we often fail at the power we have been given, the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. We often use the resources of creation for our own self-interest at the expense of our planet, and sometimes we even do this with each other. We act in ways which confess that we see everything and everyone as disposable. But then we have stories. Stories here in the book of Genesis of God recreating and renewing the covenant over and over and over again because God does not give up. And so what about us? Are we willing to start over? Are we willing to make changes in our lives, in how we live, in how we use our resources, in how we bless one another, in how we care? Because the curse here might just be that unless someone like us cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. And so the story says, Abram went. Abram went on a journey that was not just on land. It was a journey in his own spirit. Sarah did not step foot onto that land just with her physical feet. She went in spirit. These two individuals who felt as though they were too old, that they had lived too long, that they had nothing else to give, they step out into this new world, not just because God has told them so, but because God believed in them. A faithful response is the embrace of what God has already called into being, perhaps even a newness of being. And oftentimes when we take that step out, we release what has been and we step out into what the promise could be. See, to answer a call means that we will not necessarily be the same as when we started. And maybe that's the thing. Maybe God is not calling us as who we are. Maybe God is calling us into who we are going to become. The reality is we are not the same church as we were back in mid-March when this all started. We will not come back together as the same church. And so the question is, who will we be when we come back? Who have we been during this pandemic? Who are we becoming? Now, by the way, this does not have anything to do with being flawless or faultless or without mistakes. Part of our Wesleyan heritage as United Methodists is the theology that John Wesley taught about going on to perfection. Perfection has nothing to do with no longer making mistakes or getting everything right or knowing exactly what it is that we are to do. Actually, as Wesley said, it's almost the exact opposite. We continue to make mistakes. We continue to fall on our faces. Going on to perfection is about having a perfect need, dependence, a perfect following of God active in presence in our lives in every way, every step that we take. So that when we go out into that new world, into that wilderness, we see how it is that God walks with us. Beyond the social and the personal purposes of who we are as a church, we still receive that divine calling. We see that Abram is a blessing, but it's not because of his own skill. It's not because of his own intelligence or wisdom. He is not called because he is great. Abram is called because he will be used to reflect that pure light and love of God. We as a church are called to be a blessing to the nations, not because we are faultless, but because we are given a chance to reflect and to point toward the one who is. So, are we a church willing to go beyond ourselves? Are we a church willing to experience that newness and that transformation? Are we a church willing to re-experience the covenant once again, no matter what our past has been? Are we a church that is willing to care enough so that we may allow ourselves to be transformed, that we may allow ourselves to live into the potential that God sees us, so that it's not really even us who are seeing, but it is God? Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we admit that in the midst of the hesitation and fears we experience in this season, perhaps even in the time to come, we wonder if we are able to make any transformation, to make any change, to be called into that great purpose. We see the need around us, O God, and we confess sometimes it is more than we can bear. Sometimes it is so overwhelming that our only response is to turn away. But help us to remember our story, O God, how it is connected to the story of Abram and Sarai, who do not remain that way. But help us also to remember that our story is connected with Abraham and Sarah, that we too may experience transformation, newness, and the covenant once again. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. All of us likely know what it's like to feel as though we are not worthy to be given any sort of special calling. We may see how it's like everyone else has this greater purpose except for us. Maybe that's what we have been experiencing in this pandemic season, feeling as though there is nothing that we can do. But what this story reminds us is that absolutely everyone is given a calling to go out into that wilderness to make the world a better place. Abram and Sarai's response was, God, we're too old. We've already lived our lives. There's nothing that we can do. Surely there's got to be somebody younger who has more to offer. And God says, no, I have chosen you. The blessing that we can receive is the acknowledgement that each and every one of us is created with ability, with purpose, and with blessing. All of them look different, but what we discover and rediscover again and again as a church and as a community is that we need each and every person with their individual identity and gifts and calling, because when we all come together, we are that community that God has created. And we need each and every one of you. Even in those times when we may feel as though we do not see the potential in ourselves, the blessing that God gives and gives again and again is, I see it within you. It is there. Will we act upon it and step out into that new world? May we do so with the blessing that each and every one of us has been created in God's image, and it is an image of worth. And so as you go, wherever you are, not only receive that blessing, but be that blessing to others. And may we go in peace. Amen.